Amen. So today is the fourth and final Sunday of Advent. Now, before your mind goes racing and panicking over all the things you've got to do before Christmas on Thursday, I'd like to extend to you an invitation. In the midst of a season that can be so busy, particularly around crunch time, it is an invitation to breathe. In light of Advent, in light of the journey that we have been traveling together, you are invited to breathe. Take a moment to center yourself with gratitude, reflecting on the ways in which you have already experienced the hope and the peace and or the joy that comes in anticipation for Jesus Christ. Remembering with gratitude how God has moved and is moving in the world, in our personal life, helps us to cultivate that fourth principle of Advent, that fourth theme of love. It creates space for God to be considered in our thoughts and in our actions. As we mentioned earlier, this fourth theme of love is, well, it's complex, right? We lift up our prayer concerns together because we love each other, and that love is complex. Our lectionary text offers us aids to understanding the gift of love, specifically through love songs. Love songs have a way of awakening our spirits, right? Both scriptures have their poetic and dynamic structures that help us to have a movement behind them. They are considered some of the greater love songs of the Bible. Our psalm passage is a love song about God and God's relationship with the faithful King David. And it was written for the sake of the community to worship together. It says, "I will sing of your steadfast love, O God, forever. With my mouth I will proclaim your faithfulness to all generations. I declare that your steadfast love is established forever, and your faithfulness is as firm as the heavens." Our Luke passage is also known as Mary's song or the Magnificat, and is another amazing love song about God. However, Mary's love song is special because it's shared between friends. Mary speaks with prophetic and poetic phrasing when she is in the close company of her relative Elizabeth. Elizabeth, who too is experiencing a miraculous birth in her old age, who too is pregnant and with child, is a safe place for Mary to sing this song of delight and joy. And through the pen of Luke, the doctor who wrote the gospel, Mary's song, well, it's about anticipation of love made flesh, which lives and dwells and liberates us from false limitations of the day. "My soul magnifies the Lord," she says, "and my spirit rejoices in God's favor, for he has looked with me with favor on the lowness of his servant." I believe that love and love songs, well, they point out the important parts of life to us. They awaken us and enliven us, and they liberate us to the truth that is joy, the truth that is peace, the truth that is hope. They must be girded with this power of love. The power of love and the songs about love have far-reaching reverberations for healing and wholeness and are often found in unexpected places. Love is surprisingly complex, and love songs have a way of reflecting that complexity. Whether it is opera or pop, swing, techno, salsa, hip-hop, country, show tunes, jazz, or the blues, love songs can be found in almost every genre of music, right? And across cultural lines and in nearly every language, there are songs to reflect on the beauty and role and complexity of love, attachment, and compassion for the others in our lives. With the combination of the poetic and the rhythmic movement, love songs have a way of touching the truths in ways that are unique to the arts. So my question, and this is a real question for you, is what are your favorite love songs? Think about it. Don't be shy. You don't have to blush. Bridge Over Troubled Water. Excellent. Yes. Count your blessings instead of sheep. Other love songs. Whitney Houston's Greatest Love of All. Any other? I know some of you know love songs. Yes. Ooh, Blue Magic, Spell on My Mind. Tenderly, you said? Tenderly, yes. Our Love Is Here to Stay. While We're Young. And Murray chuckles. Liebestraum by Liszt. Ooh. No words, just beautiful, beautiful sound. Everyone, whether you lifted them up in voice or not, knows at least a couple love songs, right? Let me see some heads nod if you know it. Even if you didn't say it, just say, okay. And whether or not we will admit to singing Sinatra to serenade our sweetheart, to belting out bathroom-worthy renditions of Whitney Houston's Greatest Love of All in the grand stage of our shower, to discreetly toe-tapping to some Taylor Swift at your desk so no one sees you. We can all admit that good music, and good music about love, has a way of moving us, both physically and emotionally, but also spiritually. Some songs are so amazing that they bring us to tears, tears of joy that lift our spirits, or tears of heartbreak as we remember those hard days and those tough situations that we thought we'd never come through. And while there will always be some love songs that make us feel uncomfortable or confused or downright offended, there is a sense that good love songs exist to point through and beyond the human experience of love to a love that humans cannot truly attain this side of heaven. We all long to be loved perfectly, amen? We all long to be completed by the other. We long to be saved by the power of love so that we can feel fulfilled. And in this frenzied Christmas season, we are tempted to think that the presents that we give or the presents that we receive are signs of how much we love or how much we are loved by others. So we succumb to the temptation to be fulfilled by the symbols of love, and we forget that there is no substitute for true love. Motown singers Tammy Terrell and Marvin Gaye pointed to this when they sang, "Ain't nothing like the real thing, baby. Ain't nothing like the real thing. We want that kind of love that offers safety and security, the kind of love that shuts down the work of the enemy and stops the pain of the world, the kind of love that makes right what is wrong. We want divine love. Amen?
Amen.
The kind of love that the psalmist sings of, the psalmist, this songwriter, imagining what God, the perfect lover, would say to the distress David sings, I will crush down his foes before him and strike down those who hate him. My faithfulness and steadfast love they'll be with him forever, and my name will be his horn, and he shall be exalted, and I will set his hand on the sea and the right hands on the rivers, and he shall cry to me, you are my Father, my God, the rock of my salvation. As is the case for most good love songs, what makes this song great is that it creates space for anyone who sings it to find themselves in the song. This song, remember, is a communal song meant to be sung by the worshiping body, by the multitudes. So by the end of the worshiping time, when you hear them singing, you are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation, it should no longer just be David's love song, but it should be your love song. Amen?
Amen.
We sing songs in worship, both time-tested hymns and fresh expressions of love, because within songs, space is created for our voices, for our lives, for our joys, for our heartaches, for our fears, to intersect with the word of the poet or the songwriter. And together they point towards the source of perfect love, the giver of hope, peace, joy, and light, our Savior, the lover of our souls, the truest essence of our beings. Oh, the power of love songs, from Dylan to Miriam, from the Song of Songs to Hey Jude, they are offerings. Offerings to understand love and compassion in its many forms, both communally, romantically, familiarly, and globally. While the world often wants to separate love, we can make the connection from the secular love songs of the radio to the sacred love songs on a Sunday morning and find the scripture resting and connecting them. And we do this grounded in the scripture itself. For it says twice in 1 John 4, what is for me the most grounding of all scriptures. It's simple, but it is my understanding of the world and all of life built into three words. God is love. God is love. As humans, we will always fall short in encapsulating God and God's love. It is always greater than we can understand. It is always more than we feel comfortable with. But we are created for relationship. Amen?
Amen.
We are created for connection with love. We are created for connection with God. In the brokenness and sinfulness of our world, we must be vigilant to search out love. Draw close to the light of love that cares for the least of these. When it is a flicker or a roaring flame, draw close to compassionate and authentic love that offers with it hope, peace, and joy for all of creation. Because in doing so, you are searching out God and experiencing God's gracious and glorious mercy. Mary, the God-bearer, the bearer of Christ, she sings of this truth when she says, his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in his thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the empty, the rich. God is love. And we celebrate in this Advent that love became flesh, not to oppress the weak, but to mercifully uplift the lowly. Love became flesh to humble the prideful. Love became flesh, fulfilling bellies of the hungry with good things. And inspired by this meek and mighty one, love incarnate, and having encountered songs of lovers through the ages, I invite you, church, to view your life as a love song. Dynamic, faithful, complex, but ultimately pointing through human experience to the ultimate source of hope, peace, joy, and love. Sing your love song, church, through words and deeds. Give thanks and praise to God. Acknowledge with Mary and with all the saints of glory that God is able to do the impossible exceedingly and abundantly more than we could ever hope for or imagine. Sing your love songs in the name of the beloved triune God, one in three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.